We'll be reading John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, just to remind you of what's been taking place. This is the dialogue that Jesus is having with his disciples. And at the close of chapter 15, Jesus had admonished his followers to testify concerning him when they faced the world's hatred and persecution. Chapter 16 then goes on to look at what God does in light of that persecution and hatred. I'll read verses 12 through 15 of John chapter 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. It's appropriate at the beginning of a new year to consider counsel for the new year. Especially in the rise of our culture, the rise of a postmodern mentality, which brushes off some of the modern rationalism and is searching for what is truth. This is a passage that describes the Holy Spirit giving or leading us into all truth. And in a world in which where people are searching for truth, it's wise for us to give our attention to that and to think of counsel for this new year in regards to this passage. This chapter 16, if you would sit down and read it through, I'd encourage you to do that this week because it's a very inspiring chapter. It's inspiring because Jesus is talking about God's attention towards the plight of his people. You'll notice that Jesus has just spoken of the severe and terrible persecution that his disciples would face. He acknowledges that they would go through a very tough experience. They would even be put out of the synagogue, and there would be those who would think that they were doing God's will by putting them to death. Well, Jesus acknowledges that and makes it clear that God, who knows all things, takes notice of that persecution, and he responds to it. The first 11 verses that we looked at 2 weeks ago describe how the Son would depart in triumph through the cross and through his resurrection and ascension, that his work being finished, he would depart to be with the Father. And at his departure, he would send the Holy Spirit back. The Holy Spirit would come and apply the work of Christ's redemption. He would bring conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to the world. Jesus goes on now to talk about a further work of the Holy Spirit. The idea of the passage that I will preach on this morning is that in light of the world's hatred, the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of Christ's redemption. In light of the world's hatred, the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of Christ's redemption. There are significant lessons that we should learn from this. And if you're taking notes, let me just summarize the three lessons that we learned from this passage, and then we'll examine them more closely. As we confess Christ to the world, in a world that hates Jesus Christ, we depend upon the Holy Spirit for these three things. The Spirit will lead us into the whole body of redemptive revelation. Secondly, the work of the Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the work of the Spirit will always be in agreement with the Word of God. Let's turn our attention then to that first lesson, first counsel, that this work of the Spirit will lead us to the whole body of redemptive revelation. First, I want you to notice how tenderly Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus had patiently borne with the disciples' weaknesses. He had instructed them, he had corrected them, he had even rebuked them as it was necessary to lead them patiently and carefully to be his disciples. Jesus knows the fears and the temptations that they were going to face, that they had faced already. And he knows the fears and the temptations that we as followers of Jesus Christ face as well. For the disciples, they would face a severe persecution by the Jews themselves, the people of God who thought they were doing his will. And Jesus Christ had gently and let them know about this so they wouldn't be surprised, as it says in verses 1 through 4. He wants them to know of the persecution that they would face. And through all of this, as he wants them to grow in grace, he tenderly prompts them to move along in their spiritual relationship with God. He knew that their own understanding of the cross was clouded and was misunderstood. Point of fact, well, the crucifixion hadn't arrived yet. Jesus had spoken to them of his departure and had alluded to his death and his resurrection, alluded of his even his ascension and returning to be with the Father. But the disciples, as it hasn't taken place yet, their understanding of that is still shrouded in mystery, and they still don't quite understand it. And here Jesus gently acknowledges that and says, you are not able to bear it now. You're not able to understand it. There are many more things that are to be said. This actually fits the pattern that we have of redemptive history. God will often say what is going to take place, then the event happens, and then God defines what has just taken place. You think about in the Old Testament how often this happens. In the book of Exodus, the whole deliverance of the Israelites from the Egyptians, God said it, it happened, and then they reflect on it, and God defines that. Well, here Jesus is foretelling of his departure, describing what was going to take place, and gently saying there's much more to come, but that will happen at a later date. And he acknowledges that they can't bear that yet. That he says that the Holy Spirit will come to lead them into that truth, which they can't bear at that time. This has a very important implication for our doctrine of revelation, for our understanding of what we have in Scripture. For the disciples, one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit would be to lead them into these truths of Jesus Christ, the truth of redemptive revelation. So when Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, and then says that the Holy Spirit will come and reveal them to you, what we have is that the work of the Holy Spirit is the Word of Jesus Christ. Our doctrine of the revelation of the New Testament is that what the Holy Spirit has inspired the apostles to remember and to record are these words that Jesus Christ wanted us to know. It's the revelation, his own work is being accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit leads the disciples into this body of redemptive revelation. It leads the disciples to record the words of Jesus Christ. We know later, we know that the later books of Revelation that go beyond the Gospels, the Acts, we have the Epistles, we have Revelation. We don't put those into a separate class and say, well, these are just human works after Jesus Christ was here. No, we place those books as part of the revelation of Jesus Christ, books that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. You should know, too, that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. We all conveying an understanding of really the expanse of redemptive history. It's so tempting for us to find our own hobby horses, to find the doctrines that we are really interested in ourselves and focus on them to the neglect of everything else. The work of the Spirit in our lives leads us into all of that truth of Jesus Christ, emphasizing the expanse of the Word of God and all of the doctrines of grace. Just as an example that that came to mind immediately as I read these words. I thought of some of the conversations that I've had with Mormon missionaries here in Stillwater. Mormon missionaries have selectively drawn out scriptures that illustrate their own point. And as we know, the teaching of the Mormons is that Jesus Christ is not God. They have selectively chosen portions of Scripture to emphasize, portions that they have magnified, and they've constructed a false religion. In my conversations with these Mormon missionaries, I often just bluntly ask them, have you read the Bible? Have you read all of what is written here? And I haven't yet found anyone to respond yet to that question. I'm working through it, or I've tried to read some of it, but no, they haven't read the Bible, the revelation about Jesus Christ. Well, at this point, you have to go back to them and say, well, then what is it that you're proclaiming? You've constructed something on man's writing. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into the truth and lead us into all of truth. It's important to understand that expanse of redemptive history that the Spirit leads us into. Old and New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, contains the revelation of God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. To make this as applicable as possible, let me encourage you to read the Bible and to read it widely, to read it regularly. Alan has distributed and encouraged you to read through the Bible using one of many different types of plans to read through the Bible. This is a calendar of daily Bible readings, and it is wise and useful to be led by the Spirit into that expanse of God's redemptive history. In our Sabbath school class, we were talking about the means of grace, and we were talking about how we feed upon God spiritually through His Word, through the sacraments, and through prayer. Well, the emphasis in this passage is on His Word, that the Holy Spirit leads us into that truth. And if you think about the analogy of feeding upon the spiritual graces of God and apply it to feeding ourselves physically, it's an application I've made before. But let me ask the children what you would feel like if you didn't eat all day. Somebody in our class said, well, I'd be pretty crabby and want to punch somebody. If you didn't eat all day, it affects you, doesn't it? If you don't feed yourself on the truth of God in His Word, it's the same thing. Spiritually speaking, you'll be stunted. You'll be crabby and you want to punch somebody. The Spirit of God leads us into the truth of the redemptive history of Jesus Christ. As Jesus goes on, He points out the origin of that truth. I'm reminded of Jesus pointing to Himself and the relationship that He has with the Father. In the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, same in substance, equal in power and glory. And yet there is a relationship and a submissiveness within the Godhead that leads to different roles. Jesus Christ pointed out that He Himself was submissive to the Father, that He revealed what the Father had given to Him. So too, the Spirit does not speak on His own authority, but He speaks what He hears. He tells of things to come. Once again, you see the connection between the words of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks what He hears. In the Scripture, we have a record of those words of Jesus Christ. Speaking of the Trinity, the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit are one essence. There's an equation between the words of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's a necessary equation because we can't pit one portion of the Godhead against another. As being one, they speak with the same voice. This is a comforting assurance, because in this application of the work of the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit calling to remembrance the mighty works of God. The word of Jesus Christ is called to our remembrance as we read Scripture. We see this as one of those means of grace that God has given us to help us to grow. In this passage, there's an interesting summary that the commentator William Hendrickson gives. He points out that the Spirit will come, will lead us into truth, and will announce things to come. And Hendrickson points out that in the book of Acts, we have a record of the Holy Spirit coming. In the epistles, the record of the teaching of that truth. And in the book of Revelation, a declaration of the things to come. Well, I don't think we can divide as sharply as Hendrickson might suggest or dogmatically hold to that. It is an interesting summary of the work of the Holy Spirit, His coming, His teaching, and His revealing. Our first application then, just as a reminder, the Holy Spirit leads us into the whole body of redemptive revelation. And you would do well to feed deeply upon it. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. Jesus' words are simply, He will glorify me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit